This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Shope and the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. And by Leah Honda. You'll love the deals at Leah.
This man, John Clayton, the man has covered many Super Bowls, votes for the Hall of Fame. He's so good, he can cover a team's sideline from his house across the country. That's how good he is. Not many people can do that. Punk rock enthusiast.
You need
sources, and you need industry. John Clayton with us here on the West Her Hotline. John, what's new?
Hey, looking forward to doing the Bills sidelines in that Seahawks game. So that's going to be in, 3 weeks?
Is that all? Man, I guess. Pretty soon.
Well, yeah, pretty soon. I mean, they get the bye week this week, the Seahawks do. Then they come back and they go to Arizona, they host San Francisco, and off to Buffalo.
Bills have Chiefs, Jets, right, Bulldog, then Patriots, then bye, then Seahawks? I don't know. Well, I guess you could look that up.
Yeah, I have it. Hang on.
Yeah, wouldn't you consider the Jets game a bye?
No, I'm not calling for that.
It's okay. Jets, Patriots, Seahawks, Arizona, then bye.
Okay. So three games, then Seattle, which is just what you said, actually. So very good. That'll be a nice little game. But first, we have another nice little game. And before we get to that, let's talk about the Tuesday game, the first of its kind in many years. At Tennessee, John, they got it done, right? They got the game in with all the difficulty along the way with the Titans. They got it in. How do you feel about how that went, and how do you think people around the league feel?
I don't think too good. Because what you're looking at, here's a Tennessee Titan team is seemingly now pointing their fingers and like, see, you didn't trust us and all that stuff, when they pushed everything back and juggled everything in the AFC. I mean, again, you saw the three pictures and different pictures of that where you had Ryan Tannehill at one practice field with 16, 17 players. That was on another day. You had the defensive guys there. I mean, the three times they gathered in groups when they knew that was illegal and spread the virus because it kept on going each day. One or two or three people ended up being added to the list. And so look at the shuffle that it caused. It caused Pittsburgh to now have to go, 14 weeks without a bye week because they had to take the bye week in week four. That's not good. I mean, it juggled everything and, pretty much negatively affected the Bills because then they had to wait for the Titans, and then the Titans come out after 2 weeks and, kind of rubbing it in with a 42-point game. That's not good. And saying, even going on social media and saying to all the critics, again, I cannot believe that they've not come up with some kind of a major penalty against this team for what it ends up doing. Then it takes the what was supposed to be a Thursday night game tonight, which would have been great, Kansas City and Buffalo, moving it back to Sunday, giving the chance for the Bills to now face a team that's going to have a little bit more rest. Because remember, they were going to go Kansas City 3 games in 10 days, and they would have been worn down. Now they're not going to be worn down as much. Then it also, for example, this affects like the New England-Denver game because that caused the problems moving things back like that. So all of a sudden, here's Denver and New England, which was supposed to be on Monday night. That moves to Sunday, and if the game had played Monday night, you would have no Cam Newton, no Stephon Gilmore, and now the Patriots are going to have Stephon Gilmore, most likely, and Cam Newton. Ridiculous.
Yeah, this Chiefs-Bills game is Monday night, by the way.
Monday night, sorry about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. So you mentioned they haven't come up with a penalty. Like, I didn't pay a lot of credence to the statement Jay Feely gave at the beginning of Tuesday night's telecast on CBS, but he intimated that he had talked to the commissioner and that, like, they had found no wrongdoing, basically, is what that sounded like. I mean, I don't know. What, did you make anything of that? And are you assuming there is still punishment coming, or are they get-out-of-jail-free now?
I can't imagine them getting a get-out-of-jail-free. Now, I've now realized over the last 10 years, as tight as I am with Roger Goodell, and I've got a very good relationship with him, is that I can never figure out when they go for penalties. It's all over the place. There's no pattern. There's no policy. I mean, it can go any different way. So that's always a guessing game, and I usually guess wrong. But in this case, I mean, tell me, you know, they said, oh, they did open in the protocols and all that stuff and open in the investigation, but 24 people were affected. And, of course, look how the effects are, because it came at the worst possible time for the AFC, because this is the cluster when you have all these good teams, the top teams in the AFC, all meeting. And now they're juggling the schedule, moving things around like that. And, you know, I think it has an impact on what's the playoff race right now in the AFC. Because you notice they're all AFC games.
So far. How about that Tennessee looked great, by the way? Like, they had almost no practice time. You know, this goes against sort of football culture and, you know, ideology maybe, that you're supposed to first one at the office, last one to leave. You know, the Titans did whatever work they could, I guess. You know, you want to assume that or give them that, but they couldn't practice, John, and they played like that.
I would stun me. I guess it's a tribute to Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff, you know, because you know, they may not have had any control over what happened as far as the pandemic and the spreading of the virus and that big spread, but certainly he had control of that team, and they played well. And I guess so much of it has to do with Ryan Tannehill. You know, if you look at Ryan Tannehill, since he took over the starting job, what was it, 16 games ago, in his 16 games, he's put up numbers very similar to Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm, as far as completion percentage, quarterback rating, yards, touchdowns, all those different things. And, you know, it's like you knew that he had talent, but he's playing at the highest level he's ever played. And here he did this game in a time when, how do you do this when you're not on the practice field for 2 weeks? I mean, the only thing they had was a Saturday kind of mid-walkthrough to try to go over things. I mean, but it does show good coaching by Mike Vrabel and great quarterback play by Ryan Tannehill.
Well, you're saying it's a tribute to him. Maybe it's an indictment of him.
Maybe
we don't even need him. Just
yeah, that's true.
Roll the ball out. Hand the ball to Derrick Henry, and Tannehill's good enough, like a lot of quarterbacks this year, to make it look really good. I mean, I don't want to slight him or any of these other guys, but what a year so far at that position. Anyway, we've talked about that a number of times. So where does this put the AFC picture for you, with the Bills losing to Tennessee even like that? Does it scramble it or not?
It scrambles it without question, because now, let's say, for example, if the Bills, because, you know, it was funny because when I was going through and trying to pick the Super Bowl contenders and all those different things, I did that for the Washington Post over the weekend, and so it's like, okay, you still have the top three teams. And that's in whatever order you want to put it. I mean, Kansas City, obviously, number one. You know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And we'll see when those two teams meet who's going to win that one. And then I was starting to put, you know, the next two were going to be, you know, Buffalo and Tennessee, because I thought they were going to be in the next mix. And so it's like, okay, we'll see how they play. And so, boom, here comes Tennessee with the blowout win over Buffalo. And so that drops the Bills down, and now going against the Kansas City Chiefs is not going to be easy, and then you have New England starting to sneak up there. So I still think that they're still in the Super Bowl mix, but now they've fallen, I think, into being the number five team in the AFC with, you know, here's the Patriots coming back with a defensive player of the year and a former MVP quarterback trying to at least catch up a little bit and get out there and get at least to 3-2.
Is it like a crash to earth for Josh Allen in your view, John, on Tuesday night, or do you think like he's still, you know, someone that can be the pilot of a high-powered passing game?
No, I think it was just a bad game. I think it didn't help that John Brown was out of the game. That, I think, played a little bit into it because, you know, the one thing this team has been so good at, particularly in the first four games, is in three receiver sets, you know, it's the speed of Brown, the playmaking ability of Stephon Gilmore. I mean, Diggs, Stephon Diggs, what he was able to do, and certainly, the inside slot work that Cole Beasley does. So, you have to just write it off as a bad game because, I mean, it's like, okay, if you think he's regressed, and then what do we do with the first four games? First four games, he played phenomenal. I mean, he had MVP-type numbers.
You talked about the Patriots a little bit with Newton and Gilmore. How do you compare the two teams now through five games for the Bills, four for New England?
I give the edge right now to Buffalo because, again, like so many teams, it's like, okay, they've got a good defense. We know that. But also, when you're matched up in a league right now where offense is so key, where you've got quarterbacks that have rhythm because there's no holding penalties and, you know, you don't have those game-stopping penalties that really hurt you. The fact that, you know, you're on the road, the offense has an advantage because there's no crowd noise for the most part. So, you know, I still have to give them the fact that it's going pretty well, but New England to me still have some weaknesses, not as far as pass coverage. I mean, they're about as good as you can get, but particularly their three man-to-man cornerbacks, but they still have some weaknesses in the front seven that I think can be exposed.
You know, we have Le'Veon Bell as a free agent here, at least for the moment, and New England is often the first team people think of for this kind of situation, like that New England finds a way to those guys, and it isn't always what happens, but it's there that way for a reason. And there was a report that New England called on Bell, but at this moment, it sounds like it's down to Kansas City and Miami, and the Bills have been mentioned over the course of the day as a contender as well.
Yeah.
What do you think about him at this point in time, John? The Jets didn't get much out of him. They spent a lot of money on him. Is he somebody, if you were any of these teams, that you would want to take a chance on?
Well, first off, the one thing I think you can see when he makes decisions, it's baffling, you know, because he made the decision to skip the $14.55 million in the franchise tag because he wanted more money from Pittsburgh, and so he missed on that. Then he goes to a Jet team with not knowing that the coach didn't want him because he doesn't want to pay a running back. So you can see how well that worked out. And, he gets $13.1 million thinking, oh, I'm going to be in good shape, but he's never going to be able to make up the money that he lost by not playing for Pittsburgh. That's bad. And so now what I can't understand, and again, this is because, you know, Le'Veon Bell maybe is certainly one of the best backs since coming into the league. He's been that good. He looks off right now, but now what you look at is that his thinking on business decisions is brutal. And what I mean by that is that, okay, so you're going to Kansas City, possibly. Okay, you do have a good chance to go to the Super Bowl, but you're a backup. You're not going to start ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, Clyde, right now, that's the leading candidate as far as running backs for Rookie of the Year. He's that good, and you know he's the best type of running back that Andy Reid's ever had. I mean, better than Shady McCoy, better than maybe other backs that he's had through the years. And so that, to me, is baffling. And you're going to go to Miami? They're not going to win. And so it's like you just shake your head at his logic. I mean, he ends up going to now what's turning out to be one of the worst teams he could have gone to, the New York Jets, and now he's going to either go to Kansas City as a backup and, you know, collect whatever money he's getting right now from the Jets, or he's going to go to Miami and go in a losing season. I don't get it. Bills would have been the best choice. Bills or the Bears would have been the best choice.
Yeah, maybe Miami's going to throw a bunch of money at him and get and have him for more than just 1 year, and these other teams that are contenders maybe only want to just have him for, like, rental purposes, basically, and maybe that's the difference, John. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's like, okay, how much money is he going to get? Because what they're looking at is that, you know, he's got $8.5 million base guarantees, and, you know, any dollar that he gets, there's an offset that gets the Jets off the snide and gets them off the payroll as far as that goes. But, that's why, for the most part, if he goes to Kansas City, he's signing for the minimum salary, and the Jets are going to pay the rest of his $8.5 million salary. And, again, it's like, okay, I guess going down to Miami, it's a non-tax state, so you don't have to worry about anything in that regard. But to me, I mean, you know, as good as he is as a talented running back, catching the ball, running the ball, he's made the worst decisions possible as far as what he's doing with his future and past.
John, no doubt you've heard the phrase, running backs don't matter, as we look at lots of running backs who've gotten big contracts and then been replaced after an injury and the replacement did as well or better. Where are you on that? I feel like most of the time, when you talk to people who've been around the game, for the longer they've been around the game, the less they like this suggestion that running backs don't matter. What kind of merit do you feel like it has?
Well, running backs matter, but the difference is that they don't matter as much as five other positions, because the five more paid positions and the five more valuable positions, quarterback number one, and then whatever order you want to put it, you know, the wide receiver, the cornerbacks who cover the wide receivers, the tackle, particularly left tackle, and the pass rushers. You know, those are the ones that get the big pay, and then, you know, if you're lucky, you might be able to get a good contract. But again, you realize, I mean, you know, I look at running backs like catchers in baseball, because catchers always get the tough end of it, because, you know, they're down there for nine innings getting beat up, and a lot of times, you know, they don't get the big contracts and all those different things, and the running backs have to use their body and physically beat it up. But once you get to 27 or 28 years old, then you struggle to find teams willing to give you money or anything like that. And so that's where I think that it's just real tough. And I think what it comes down to, and particularly now more so nowadays, you look at two-thirds of the league, and pretty much the starting running backs are all with all in their rookie contracts. You know, drafted from either 2017 to 2020. That's about two-thirds of the league right now. And the other running backs, and once you get past 28, the numbers keep coming down as far as the pay that you get.
Bell is 28, by the way.
Yeah.
So no Thursday night game. What will you do, like a Netflix documentary?
No, let's see. It's been so crazy this week. I mean, we had some heavy winds and rains and all that stuff, so the power went out about four times in Monday and Tuesday, and so I'm so far behind as far as catching things up on work and, you know, constantly trying to make sure that my wife's hospital bed isn't screaming for low pressure, and, you know, Alexa's gone out for her like about four times, so it's been a little crazy. So go out, kind of continue working on some of the database stuff and studying things, because it's a bye week here, so I have a chance to now kind of look ahead and see what more things I can kind of investigate. And so, nothing big, and maybe getting a little sleep.
All right.
Sleep would be good.
Yeah. Sleep, underrated.
Yeah.
By the way, for no particular reason, Joe, our producer, you talk to Joe every week before you come on, he and I are wondering about what the status of Rashad Penny is.
It's, my neighbor, Rashad Penny?
Is he your neighbor?
He lives about he rents about eight houses away from where I am. So,
did he lose power?
I'm inclined to give you that absolutely. On neighbor then. That's a neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, no, in fact, this is a water, is a real nice area, right? And we're right on the water, and really like about, 10-minute walk from the Seahawks facility. And so he's doing well. I mean, he's right on schedule to come off the PUP list on the week 7.
Week 7.
And then they'll slowly integrate him back. And, you know, I know, because I'll drive by and I'll see him out there with a San Diego State shirt on, you know, and then, you know, just walking around, or maybe occasionally walking over to the facility.
Which is odd because he went to Clemson, but... So you'll see him in the – I'm just kidding. You'll see him in the neighborhood. Would you – yes or no, he's active for week 7?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he will be, because, you know, I know that Pete Carroll, particularly 2-3 weeks into the season, was saying how well things were going for him. So I think there's a decent chance. How active he'll be, probably not a lot in the game, just from the standpoint that, ahead of him, you've got Chris Carson. You also have Carlos Hyde. And so he'll then be the third running back.
You wouldn't need Hyde anymore if Penny's right, but I hear you. Carson's done very well.
Yeah.
All right.
He really is.
Bulldog, you good? We all set?
I'm all set.
Joe, anybody else you want to ask about?
I think that's it.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. John Clayton's appearance with us here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. And by Leah Hondo, you'll love the deals at Leah.
How would you feel if you had Bell in fantasy right now? Would you be excited?
Yes.
Would you try to
think? It's an upgrade.
Would you try to trade him?
I don't ever.
I know.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to go to the bathroom. You guys do what
all
you
right.
need to do.
Buy, sell, or hold Le'Veon Bell right now where you don't know where he's going to play. I don't think, like John says he's a backup. I don't know if he's a backup. You know, he's a compliment.
If he's in Miami, I definitely don't think he's a backup.
That guy's doing well there.
Gaskin?
Yes.
Miles Gaskin?
He is.
I feel like that can't be right. I don't have him anywhere.
It is right.
But...
No, it is right. He's doing well. Well, Jordan Howard was not even active last week.
Yeah, Kansas City is the one that I would be more worried about, though. Edwards-Helaire is good, I think.
Le'Veon Bell's future is just bad for somebody, more than it is good for Bell, compared with what he was with the Jets. I mean, at least he was a number one.
Gaskin's doing fine. He's under 4 yards a carry. He's getting touches, though. That's it, though. Can that job be had? His last couple games are better. But I feel like that job could be had easier than Kansas City's. So I'd be rooting for Miami. But I would sell him if someone wants him. He hasn't been good in 3 years.
There it is.
Does he have to?
That's what Bulldog keeps saying.
Does he have to come out and produce? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
He hasn't been good in two and a half. Two years. All right.
Since 2017 is a real concise way to say it.
since the end of 2017.
He hasn't been good since LeSean McCoy was good.
Wow. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Trying to think of a TV show to make this point with, but I don't have it. He hasn't been good since blank was good. No, it's already late. We're already late. What's the right show? What's the definitive answer to that one? End of 17. What was good at the end of 17 that isn't now? Well, I mean, maybe a lot of things. All right. Enough. The update, and then maybe your calls, 803-0550. We still don't have it that Le'Veon Bell is going somewhere else. So we can still play, right? It's not too dark. We can stay out here and play some more. What about this idea? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
It's just something I take a lot of pride in, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to our football team. I know these guys take a lot of pride in what they do, and I know our defensive coaches do the same, and we got a lot of confidence in those guys. And, you know, obviously things we have to continue to work on and grow and develop. This defense this year, certainly some new pieces to it, and it's a big part of my mentality, and I haven't been satisfied, quite honestly, with where we are at this point defensively, but I remain confident in the unit.
Sean McDermott and the Bills will be looking to rebound, and they'll have to do that by playing the best team in the league, or at least the Super Bowl champs if they're not the current best. They, I think, would be my choice as the current best.
I would power rank them at the top. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, you want to pick Pittsburgh or Green Bay or Seattle?
Like, one loss doesn't penalize them as much as it penalizes the Bills in power rankings. I think that's how it works. You have an established level of excellence, and you've had it for two seasons before this one with your quarterback, and you've won the Super Bowl, and you were everybody's pick, I think, to be the top team going, maybe you in Baltimore, whatever. So you're there. You lose a game at home. It was bad, but okay. The Bills lose a game, and it's like, oh, okay, oh, who are the Bills? You know, the Chiefs, I think you still know the Chiefs are, they had a bad day. You probably want to settle on the Bills just had a bad day, but you have a harder time doing it because you just don't have two-plus years of evidence.
Benefit of the doubt, right? Bills and Chiefs Monday at 5. How about that? My tweet about Joe Buck and the Bills making the rounds. Some other broadcast geek sort of sites like myself. I'm not a site, but I'm very much a sort of a geek for this kind of trivia. It seemed to enjoy it that Joe Buck has not done a Bills game since 1994. I'm thinking of like a certain interesting or fun way to put that on Twitter went with the fact that Pat Summerall did a Bills game more recently than that, which is, you know, like a couple people want to always want to tell you what you didn't know or what they think you didn't know when you tweet something. And, you know, I saw a bunch of, well, you know, makes sense. The Bills weren't in the NFC or, you know, like they haven't been good. Of course, Joe Buck wouldn't, like, but still, like, that's 26 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, All of that's right. We addressed that yesterday. It would have been, for the majority of that time, it would have been two opportunities a year to have that. And if you're not good and you're not playing the Giants or the Cowboys, I think you need both of those things. You need to be good and be playing the Giants or the Cowboys at home. You're probably not getting Buck and Aikman.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Or but, you know, once they became, they ascended to the top spot, you know, once Summerall was gone. You know, that's just how it works. There were still opportunities. They just were never good at the right time.
I'm a huge Summerall fan. I always was. I mean, it was such a joy to listen to. And a certain broadcasting trivia site, which I can't access right now because Twitter is down for me, noted that Summerall in his career did four Bills games. 1970 with Ray Scott when they played the Rams, I think it was. 78 against the Giants. I didn't know that one. And then Super Bowl 26 and this Dallas game at the stadium here in 1996. That's the list. All right. We have Ken with us now. Hi, Ken.
Hey, guys. It might be a moot point now, but if we're talking about Val joining the team, I'm kind of echoing what you were saying, Mike, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to speak for you, but I guess I'm going to try anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What I was saying is that if you're going to sign him as a running back, we've seen the league littered with examples that doesn't really matter. I mean, again, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you've got, you know, teams that have got these great running backs that just aren't doing anything with the running game or this or that. Even Nick Chubb, when he went down, the backup came in, didn't miss a beat. Everything was the same. But if you're going to sign him as a wide receiver threat, because maybe he runs better routes than Singletary. I don't know, because I know Singletary gets open too. But if he's more established in that way and can be used as a weapon that way, he's almost like a fifth wide receiver coming out of the backfield, then I think he would do it. Other than that, I wouldn't see the purpose of signing him to think your running game's going to change all of a sudden, because running games usually are based on blocking schemes. And if the blocking's not going to change, then I don't think you're going to see much change in the running, other than maybe a possibility he might break a couple more tackles. Who knows? Maybe not. But, again, I think if you're going to do it, it's under the perception that you're going to open up what you're already doing and showing yourself as a passing offense. And if you think that's going to amplify that, great. If not, don't waste your time and money. Stick with what you got and just keep going from there.
Right on. That is how I feel. Thanks, Ken. Throw it to him. I think he could make a difference. Hand it to him. I really don't care who you hand it to. It seems like they're just maybe like NHL coaches, Bulldog. Just dozens, if not hundreds, of viable candidates.
I suppose that's right.
Does that rankle you?
What, the coaches thing?
Yes. I kind of was hoping to.
I don't know. Not really.
If you don't know, then you are not rankled. How are you doing over there?
How am I doing over here?
Yeah, like I have a lot of stress. I have a lot of stress right now.
I have a sink in the kitchen now.
That's good. So, right? That's like, progress.
That was considerable. And you know, we're yeah, the counters are in that the sink wouldn't be in without the countertops. So things are starting to come together.
You're saying you cannot have a sink without countertops?
Well, you could have, like, you know, like a makeshift thing, but we didn't. Like,
just a sink?
Yeah,
with
right.
Some
really
pipes.
Just like a tub sitting in the corner of the kitchen. We just, you know, figured we'd, you know, live without it for a little while. So it's been I don't know, like Labor Day, this started. So where are we? Mid-October. But we have a sink, so it's good. And the stuff is starting to happen. Like the exhaust fan for the new stove went in yesterday, and tile is getting put up for bet. There's progress. So, you know, that's good. I mean, that's only, you didn't ask me how the kitchen is coming along. You asked me how I'm doing.
No, I think that's interesting. That's where you went.
Almost everything about our lives for the last 6 weeks has been like, hey, how you doing? The kitchen! The kitchen! We're waiting for the guy to call.
Joe, do you feel like that's probably a good sign about his life?
Probably.
That, you know, how are you holding up? Well, the sink is in.
Right.
The kitchen's coming along. That's probably a good sign for you.
Yeah. Last night, I don't know why I was we didn't have a plan for dinner, and then my wife wanted to order takeout, and I was like, I don't want to order takeout again. You know, we've done a lot of that. And so we couldn't get it. There were guys working in the kitchen until like after 9 o'clock last night. And so it was like, Leo, I don't know what to tell you. There's a can of soup you can heat up in the microwave. I can't get at anything. There's guys in there with saws.
Saws.
So it goes.
So you wouldn't want to approach them because of the saws.
Well, you just don't want to go in there like, hey, do you mind if I just, use the air fryer?
Come on. Of course you could. You weren't up for it.
I didn't want to do it.
That's
right. I could have done it.
You didn't want to order out.
Right.
And you didn't want to make anything.
Yeah.
It's one of those nights. We all have those nights.
Yeah.
I'm just bored with every idea. Mm-hmm. I don't like any idea.
Right.
This is actually not really part of my stress, but it's just something that it's just part of my story, I guess, is dinner last night. So it was from me leaving here, do you guys want food? You know, I text my wife. Everyone's like, just because I don't, mm-hmm. when I don't know what the dinner plan is, and she's running around. Daughter has hockey. Yeah. Son has scouts. It's a typical night. You know, sometimes there will be dinner and sometimes there isn't. So I just ask, you know, what do you want? And she said, I think anything would be appreciated by everyone here. That was the text.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Like, it was just sort of like, I felt a draft.
Yeah.
When I read that. Like,
yeah, like if you could bring yourself to pitch in at all.
I don't think that's
how
she meant
it. Appreciated. I know. I want to assume she didn't mean it that way either, but via text, that's how it could come off.
Like, I know.
What?
I just took it. You know, maybe you're right. I just took it as, yes, please. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Yes,
sure.
Please.
Yeah.
So
that's probably how it was meant. I'm just being negative.
I am in my car. And, like, what am I going to do? I really don't want to, you know, pull over and go online and order something or whatever. I choose fast food. So now you're like, all right, where? Which one? What am I going to do here? I was already on, Rachel's would have been a good choice, but I was already on the 290. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, well, fast food. What am I going to do here? And I picked a place because it has baked potatoes.
Okay.
Because my wife is a vegetarian. And now I know she wants me to take food home. I am in my car already. That's how I thought. Like, well, I know this mm-hmm. place has baked potatoes, so I will go there. And on the island, we have that. So I went there to get a baked mm-hmm. potato. Nuggets yeah. and whatever.
Right.
And so I order, and the person says, we don't have any baked potatoes. I go, I go like, ever? And she's like, no, just not tonight. They didn't have any. So for the, probably, I don't know for sure, but probably for the first time in my life, I did double drive-through. I stayed in that drive-through and ordered the nuggets and the kids' food. And then I went across the street to get the Impossible burger.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a play, sure.
I've done that.
And I walk in the house with double, you know, two different fast food restaurant bags.
Right.
Like, I mean, check that off in my check that box off for my
right.
life.
You are the world's greatest American, right?
I've got the two different fast food bags, one in each hand. Got to be the first time. Why would that have ever happened to me? Why would that ever happen to anybody? You go to one, well, and you just eat that.
We that has happened here with the kids. I don't remember. I don't know why. I don't have the story, but I know that someone wanted something, and someone wanted something else, and rather than fight it out, we just sort of folded. So I have done that. I don't think it was the two places you went, but same sort of thing. I mean, you know, fast food places for sure, and drive through, and came home with two different sets of fast food.
So, you know,
I've done it just because I like the fries more at one place than another.
You have?
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Just for yourself, you've.
Wait a minute. Oh yeah. Wait a minute.
For me.
You.
No, come on.
You.
No, I'm not kidding.
I am going to question this too, but I'm afraid that this is going to be a thing that people do.
Oh, it's a thing. Some people.
Come
do.
On!
Yeah, people do it. You want one item from one place, you want another from another, and you're craving both. And you got time.
You make two
do
stops.
It. Make two stops.
But it's
stops.
Just fries. We're talking about fries. Oh, not like
fries
sandwiches
can vary
or...
big time. Oh, you could do sandwiches too. If you want like two sandwiches or something,
I don't
it's been
know,
done.
Man. This is like going to one place because
wow.
they
I'm
have
not saying...
Coke and the other place because they have Pepsi.
No, it is.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
Really? Really? That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
How much better is the fry at the place you prefer than the fry at the other place?
Oh,
like, it's worth driving over there and waiting in the drive-thru line and talking to two people going, "Hey, would you put your order, plate?" And you don't understand a word they're saying, so you just say some food things, and then they tell you, "Well, yeah, it's going to cost," and you can't get the change ready. You're going to do that twice?
There's some
fries?
Bad fries out there.
Sometimes it goes better than that.
There's some bad fries out there.
Bad fries.
I don't make a habit of this. I'm just saying I've done it.
Bad fries.
Sorry if I blew up people's radios when I did that thing where I swallowed my microphone, but I was trying. I was going for an effect.
Wow. I wonder. I feel like that might be a sort of a thing to do.
Wow.
To sort of construct a meal from different fast food restaurants.
We did when I was in high school. Like the first car I had. I know. I remember riding around West Seneca Orchard Park, doing it was my buddy Tom Mahalski, Augie Taboni, Rich Radka, and me, and we would go on. I can't. What did we call it? The fast food tour. Fast food. We would go from one place to the other and just eat. I mean, it was disgusting. But we'd go go to Ted's. We'd go to just hit places. And tacos, whatever, and just do that. I mean, I don't know how we had money to do that, but it was gross. But we would do that. And this was not, I prefer one. It was just, let's gorge on disgusting, delicious food.
Well, I've learned a lot here. I was telling my story, but my story's over. I mean, I learned a lot.
Those guys, though, they were all wrestlers, and they needed to, make weight or, gain weight. So, and I just was fat. Like, I didn't have any – actually, I wasn't fat in high school. I just was along for the ride, basically.
But. I thought I had done something original, but we've all done it, apparently. Gone to numerous fast food restaurants back-to-back. All right. Well, we're way late here, and we love Rachel's. In fact, Joe has a Rachel's bag. Joe went to Rachel's today. I can see it.
Sweet.
He's holding – there it is. Time for Throwback Thursday trivia from Rachel's, 644-9878. You can win a $50 gift card to Rachel's Mediterranean Grill by being the first person with the correct answer to this question. The last time the Kansas City Chiefs visited the Bills, this player led the Bills in receptions and receiving yards. So in receiving, both categories. Who is he? 644-9878. We'll have the answer for you next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. You've joined us at a great time. We are about to find out who led the Bills in receiving in a game against Kansas City 6 years ago. Rachel's Throwback Thursday trivia. I don't know this answer, and I haven't looked it up. Joe knows it. Joe did say that the first eight people to call in with a guess were wrong.
I did see a highlight today that makes me think I might know the answer.
I think the highlight you think you saw is from the year before.
Ah, yeah, there was a slew of Chief home games.
I know the date of this game, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know who led them in receiving, but I think I know the
thinking,
date.
Well, Joe, let's just say I won't say the name of a receiver here.
We do have a winner, by the way, so you can guess.
Okay, I was thinking of the Jeff Toole game, and I saw a Marquise Goodwin long touchdown reception from that game, so I was guessing maybe it was him, but if that's the wrong game.
It's the wrong game.
That's the year before, yeah. This is 2014. Nope, go ahead.
I want to say it was on November 9th.
Yes, November 9th, 2014.
Do you know what we did that night? It's the night of the 716 party.
Drink beer. Oh, wow. Oh, Lord. That was a night.
November 9th, 2014 was the night of the 716 party when they opened.
Yeah, that was
The Bills lost to Kansas City. They were up 14-3 in middle of the fourth quarter. Chandler had two hands on the ball in the end zone on a fumble and fumbled it out of the end zone, and they lost. Jamal Charles. For the Bills, I would say Spiller, because I remember Spiller from that night.
The player who fumbled that ball is the answer.
Chandler.
No.
No. He fumbled the fumble.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Running back.
Oh.
I have no idea. No idea.
No, I'm going to be mad.
Bryce Brown is the answer.
Bryce Brown.
Six catches for 65 yards in that game.
It's a very memorable night. 716 opened. Mm-hmm. Can I do this now? Like, it's already 6 o'clock. Can I do this now?
Yes.
So
time. Who cares about time? Nobody knows what day it is.
716 opened. I shouldn't talk after that line. 716 opened on the 7th. That was my birthday. The Sabres played Edmonton that night. That was opening day at 716. And so this party, like the grand opening party, was for the Bills players, the Sabres players, and us. And that's it.
Yep.
Like families.
Sponsors, big sponsors, yeah.
But very few. I mean, that was mostly not. And we never mingle with players. Like, that never happens. So, like, as a rule for me, like, never. No interest. No thank you. And thank you, no. So, but, like, we're all like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird that we got invited, but it was also cool, right? That we would go.
It was cool, yeah. I don't remember mingling with players. I just remember trying to get my wife to stop badgering John Comel, who at the time was like a high big executive at Kaleida, still, I think, or like on the board or something.
He would then run 716.
Yeah, and my wife, you know, she has opinions about healthcare, and I was just like, you know, there's wine, and I just remember like, oh God, I hope this is okay. Mm-hmm. He seemed fine, but it was, you know, I don't know, it was a little. I remember it for a lot of reasons, mostly that, for me.
Yeah, the party isn't really memorable for anything that happened with players. It was just, I remember sitting with you at the stadium that day, knowing we were going. It was a Sunday. So, knowing we were going and to be around everybody, Eric Wood, you know, he was cool that night, of course.
Yeah.
Thinking, like, this is a game I really hope the Bills win because of the night. Like, I didn't want to have to go there and, you know, whatever. So they not only lose, they have the game won almost, and they lose it. So it's sort of a depressing night in that way, but memorable for a lot of reasons. Cool to be at this brand new place, and everybody was excited about that. But the day, and then a few different conversations. I remember talking to C.J. Spiller that night. I loved C.J. Spiller. I bet on him to win the MVP. Remember that?
Yes.
Think about that, right? Like, so I was a big fan of his, and talked to him that night, and told him, like, you know, about my hoping that he won the MVP. And I'm like, it's going to be tough. I don't get the ball. So, like, yeah, I know. It's tough. You don't get the ball. It's going to be tough to win the most valuable player award in the NFL. But, you know, it's a nice idea. I don't know. Like, I'm now the story's kind of a dud because there's not, like, some amazing interaction where, like, you know, Brian Gionta punched me in the nose or something. Like, there's nothing like that. Nothing. Everybody was on good behavior. But
yeah, all right.
It was a little bit stressful and exciting and weird. And like, do we talk about this? No, right? Should we do? What should we do with this? Are we going?
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot
of that. It was all of that for sure. Yes.
Yeah. I really wanted them to win. November 9th. Bryce Brown. It was a good question.
Yep.
Okay. The latest. Is your Twitter down?
Yeah.
Twitter's been down for half an hour. Le'Veon Bell could be on a two new teams by now.
I know.
We don't know.
Yep.
So we'll see what we can find out for you on that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The update is ahead as well. It's so late. I'm sorry, everybody. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.